It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. E right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
People over there with their continental breakfast at the hotel I was at on Monday night and Tuesday night. It's fine, but it's nice to be back. Nice to have your own TV again. Have all the apps you're ready to watch shows on that TV. It feels good to sleep in your own bed. If you don't know, Sean and I, because of weather situations that were a problem this morning for some people, I saw an overturned SUV on its roof, windows broken. Because of the ice. It's one of the reasons we stayed over at the hotel across the street, just to make sure we didn't have to deal with that. But we braved the treacherous conditions. Hopefully all you guys, if you're out there, you're okay. And we're back to normal. Hopefully you guys are as well. I know one thing, though. I said it a little late, but anytime ESPN wants to come talk to me about programming their basketball stuff, just come talk to me. I told you, you should have picked Rockets and Cavs. The Wolves and the Mavs, that's fine. It was a competitive game. But you had all the drama. It was like a play. It was like Shakespearean last night. Yet you had the 19-0 run by the Cavs in a game where the Rockets controlled it and kept getting separation. Eventually we're up double digits in the fourth quarter. The Cavs go on a 19-0 run to go up by six. Fred VanVleet had a really good shooting night. Made a couple threes to get the Rockets back in it. You had the Rockets taking the lead on, it is very anticlimactic when the way you take the lead is a loose ball foul on the defensive end. And Alperen, because he's not a great free throw shooter, made one out of two. It's just his bag down the stretch. He doesn't do a great job knocking down both down the stretch. He makes one. The Cavs have a possession where Tari Eason obviously fouls Darius Garland. Ruled a flagrant after review. And Darius Garland, as has been pointed out countless times since and on the broadcast, 90% free throw shooter, misses the first two, makes the last. And because of the flagrant foul, the Cavs get another opportunity. They don't make the shot. The Rockets win. I mean, the emotions. Tari Eason in probably shell-shocked. But when you watch the play, there's no debate. It's a foul. And I can't even push back and say it wasn't a flagrant foul. It had all the qualities of what they tell you not to do and why they try to protect shooters. Thankfully, I guess for the Rockets' sake, Darius Garland was able to shoot those free throws because he missed them. I'm trying to think. In that about, I don't know, they did the review, maybe 5 or 6 minute span between the foul and the end of the game. Who felt worse? I know Garland felt worse after the game. But Tari Eason, knowing he committed a cardinal sin and having to wait for the review and then watch the legit, at least one of the best free throw shooters in the game today, go up there knowing he probably cost his team the game. That emotion, and then Darius Garland missing the first and going, okay, I'll make the second. And then when he misses the second, you're like, oh, okay. You see the guy's face. You know it's over. And I mentioned he made the first. I'm going to go level of the levels. Tari Eason is a three, is number three. Darius Garland, after he misses the first, is number two, and then Darius Garland after the game's over is number one. As far as who felt the worst, I mean, maybe throw Ime in there at some point. Kenny Atkinson probably felt pretty terrible about it too, but a great win for the Rockets. They went about it in not such great fashion, but you found a way to dig it out and win the game. Amen Thompson made a big play on Donovan Mitchell after the Cavs were tired of watching Darius Garland dribble into nowhere. Hell, Jalen Green locked him up late in that game, so they got the ball in Donovan Mitchell's hands, and Amen Thompson stripped him. Now, Donovan Mitchell made a great play to get back and block a shot, originally called a foul, reviewed it, said it was a clean block, but a really good win for Rockets after losing two out of three. They lost to Sacramento. They also lost to the Pistons at home in a game where Cade Cunningham did have a lot of turnovers, as Sean pointed out. He was like, why are we talking about how great a game he played when he turned the ball over that many times? And he backed it up in his next game. Double-digit turnovers again for Cade Cunningham. So as much as Mark Spears made an appearance on a podcast or something on our radio show and said, why aren't we talking about Cade Cunningham as an MVP? Perhaps because in the game that got you to talk about him, he turned the ball over 10 times.
And then he had another 10
times. And then perhaps that's why. And the Pistons aren't great. They're better than they have been. But maybe that's why we're not talking about him for MVP.
I'm not even doing, like, watch the games. I'm just, like, look farther to the right on the box score.
Yeah, the 30 points is cool. The Pistons are a fun team. But keep scroll, or not even scroll. Just look. Just turn your eye to the right a little bit. Use that peripheral vision and see. The man turned the ball over 10 times in a basketball game. That is very hard to do.
How often do you think Jalen Green also said that exact same thing, just, I don't know, to his friends, just alone in his house,
if you
watching
scroll,
all these segments, watching Cade Cunningham be on NBA on TV, and Adam Lefkoe being like, man, you just have such an old school rivalry with Jalen Green. I love that. And Jalen Green's like, he had 10 turnovers. What are we talking about?
If Jalen Green is a person who's going to scroll on social media after the game and hearing all the people talking about how much of a better player Cade Cunningham is currently. And then, wait a minute.
He just has the ball in his hands all the
time.
He's
the point guard. And you know what happens when he has the ball in his hands a lot? He turns it over. He had a triple-double against the Hawks last night. It was 29 points, 11 assists, and 10 turnovers. That's what Cade Cunningham did. He did get the win, though. A nice shooting night for him, 12 and 19. So the Pistons, now I think the sixth seed in the East after beating the Hawks last night. So the Pistons are playing much better. From Jalen Green, I tell everyone to relax. I just won Western Conference Player of the Week. Now he's followed it up with two stinkers.
Hey, listen.
But he did get that award.
Yeah. Jalen Green's like, if I get 10 turnovers in a game, Ime Udoka slaps my wrist with the ruler, all right? Like, what? this guy has Shaq being like, I know how it feels, man, to be beefing. What are you talking about?
Winning cleans up all the stink. Like, the 10 turnovers don't matter when you can dunk on four players and go on all y'all MFers. Winning cures a lot.
Got a technical. Hurt his team there.
Did he get a technical?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
That was only a one-point dunk, as far as I'm concerned.
But the ability to yell at four people and an entire bench, priceless. Priceless for it. And it became a social media trending video. So credit to the Pistons social media team who used that clip to shout out their likely all-star. But back to the Rockets. They get the Cavs. The Cavs didn't have Evan Mobley. The Rockets didn't have Jabari Smith. I don't think those two absences are even. But, hey, Jabari Smith is a starter for the Rockets. We'll see if he is when he comes back. So they were without one of their guys. I think the Cavs were missing a couple more rotation players. But they had enough to make that a good competitive game in the fourth quarter. The Rockets squeeze one out. They win. And they go back to, or at least they play the Cavs on Saturday. So we'll see what the Cavs have for them in the rematch on Saturday. But all in all, a really good night of basketball in this city. We had the Cougs beating up on the Utes last night as well. Not as competitive. In fact, not competitive at all. It's nearly doubled them up. 70 to 36 was that final?
So, yeah, I saw the score on one of the apps, and I was like, it just took me a second, Billy. It's not, it wasn't 70-63. It was 70-36.
Yeah. that's what the Cougs can do. And I won't even say they struggle, but they dropped a couple games that, and we're not used to them losing. And those happened early.
Everyone doubted them.
Yeah, I'm sure throughout the country. What's happened?
What's wrong
with Kelvin Sampson's Cougs? They found a way to now be a top 10 team, number 7 in the country. I believe undefeated in the Big 12. So they're just fine. Surprisingly enough, that program is on solid ground.
Yeah, when I saw that there were 17.5-point favorites and they covered the spread by 17.5.
Yeah, an extra 17.5.
They doubled up the spread.
Yeah. You know, it's all about the defense. They didn't have a great shooting night from three, but that can be expected. But overall, they got everything they wanted out of that game. And Utah's not an awful team. They're a middling Big 12 team. Not going to make the tournament unless they go on some run in the Big 12 tournament. But, hey, you dominate them, feel pretty good at home, and they're rolling. And, of course, it's always going to come down to this. Beyond can they avoid a horrible shooting night in an important game is can they stay healthy? Can they get through the year and finally get to the tournament and not have to worry about missing a key guy? If they can do that, they could be a Final Four team. I know we feel like they've been to a lot. They've been to one. And a lot of it has to do with guys missing at the most important time. So this is another year where the Cougars are going to be a factor. Let's see if they can avoid some of the things that have short-circuited their seasons in previous years. So that was the night of basketball in the city. I got to talk about this. We'll get to it later. I got hit with the Daily Double from Netflix. I'll explain what that means. If you know, you know, there's a price hike going on, and they had the nerve to send that email after they sent another one. So I'll get to that in a little bit. If anyone wants to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. We have the Joe Mixon fine to talk about. He went on Twitter to complain. His agent spoke to local news to complain, and it leads me to a question, because they both have the same quote in defending Joe Mixon and defending himself and his agent in defending his client, which makes me think either the agent told Joe Mixon what to write on Twitter or the agent sometimes controls Joe Mixon's account. We'll get to that. It's got a very Vernon Maxwell, does he write his own stuff type of feel. So we'll get to it in a little bit. And we can ask a question, maybe a funnier question about that tweet when we get to it. Also, we have some numbers regarding the Texans and their offensive line, which probably won't be surprising, but just confirms that they got real problems to fix. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Trent Baalke's out. We talked about what the hell was going on in Jacksonville. Well, the guy who feels like he's keeping Jacksonville from progressing is out the door, at least the guy who can be out the door. Maybe you think the owner is a bigger problem. And Aaron Glenn has a new job. So a lot to get to as we get going on the show. 713-780-3776 is the number you can call if you want to join Eric and talk to us. But first, let's get to Monument Chevrolet. That's the place you should go to. The roads are clearing up, thankfully. And if you're looking for a new car, that's a place you should visit. And by visit, I mean on-site, which is off of Bellway 8 and 225 in Pasadena. Or you can go to monumentchevrolet.com and check out the selection of vehicles that they have, from new to pre-owned to fleet. They have it all. So if you need it, a new car, remember this, they're extending their 50-year anniversary savings up until January 31st. So 2024 was their 50-year anniversary in business. You got to January 31st to take advantage of all the savings across the inventory vehicles. But maybe you're looking for something pre-owned. They have those too. And the best part about that is, beyond the fact that the vehicles are great, is that they have a 6,000-mile, 6-month warranty. Simply means no worries. If an issue pops up that you weren't expecting and they weren't expecting, they'll take care of it for you. It gets rid of some of those fears about how pre-owned cars operate once they're off the lot. They will take care of you if anything pops up. And that's what they're all about, serving the customer. They have great people on site, and they will walk you through the process of getting the car that you want. No hidden fees, no upcharges. It's all there for you up front, and they'll get you out of there as quickly as possible. Very friendly when you meet the people out at Monument Chevrolet. So remember the website one more time, monumentchevrolet.com. Check out all they have to offer. And, of course, go on out there, 225 and Bellway 8 in Pasadena. And just remember this above all, Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Two most dependable guys are here. Well, dependable is probably not the correct word. Consistent. And La Salsa is back. We'll get to him, and we'll get to Eric in a little bit here as well. So, Danielle Hunter named a Pro Bowler today. He's going to replace Max Crosby as a representative for the Texans in those Pro Bowl games. I don't know what a defensive end actually does in the Pro Bowl games. Does he do obstacle course? Where they're tackling dummy? Maybe a tackling dummy. Maybe he bends the edge or something in some way that everyone thinks is fun. I don't know what you do at the Pro Bowl games anymore.
They should completely make it like just an absolute joke and have them do the little thing at the county fair or the carnival, whatever, where you can do the punch and they see how strong your punch is. Because I imagine Daniel Hunter would do well at that.
I don't mind it.
Just see the whatever, that thing that Ivan Drago was hitting.
Yeah, team ski ball. Like
over 9,000.
Whack-a-mole. I don't know. Whatever it takes. Whatever you think.
Driving simulator. Oh, that's
the
NASCAR, not bad. The NASCAR driving simulator.
The Georgia guys would win. Or lose.
They'd wipe each other out.
Or they probably
Kirk Cousins would win.
Yeah.
He wouldn't set any records, but it'd be at 10-2.
He would never crash. I don't know how fast he'd go. Michigan State quarterbacks, I don't know. They don't have a reputation for that. Him and Brian Hoyer don't have the reputation that the Georgia players have. Let's get to Eric and then we'll get to LaSalle. So what's up, Eric?
Hey, with the Cowboys. Brian Schottenheimer, do you think he's really going to be the head coach of the Cowboys? And is this a testament to the Cowboys that nobody wants to hire Mike McCarthy? I mean, nobody's interviewing him except for the Bears, but nobody else. Also, if I have a Maggie cab in my car, but the cops let me go free, I'm going to listen.
I don't know if a MAGA cap lets you go free. I don't know what you're up to. So what are you up to, Eric, that you would have to deal with the cops? Since you asked a stupid question, I'm gonna answer it seriously. I'm gonna double reverse you here. You gotta tell people what you're up to, and is it a new MAGA hat? Can you prove? Because if they know you aren't wearing it and you're using it as a diversionary tactic, maybe they don't let you. They'll notice it. They'll be very observant and go, "You don't wear that hat. There's not even a sweat ring in the hat." You don't get to go free.
Wasn't this a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode?
Possibly.
With Larry David throwing on the MAGA hat?
It might have been. I haven't seen it. So, Eric, I can't say. Not every police officer may have that political leaning. Maybe you run into someone who was a giant Jill Stein fan. And then what? Maybe someone from the Green Party pulls you over. Got no idea. You thought I was going to go with Biden or Kamala. It's the thing. The comedy is just, I got to explain it. I'm going to explain it. You do the switch up, Sean. You make people think you're going one way. Yeah, I know. You understand.
More of a libertarian.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. Someone pulls you over and loves themselves and Lena Hidalgo. Then you're in trouble when you break out the hat. You just never know. You never know, Eric. What else did he ask about? It's not a testament to the Cowboys that no one's hiring Mike McCarthy. In fact, it's more of an embarrassment that you're willing to keep him if no one wants him. It's not a testament. You guys were considering keeping him. And by the way, is this a testament? Just 21 minutes ago, or about 30 minutes ago now, Clarence Hill, covers the Cowboys, says, expect them to get over the line with Brian Schottenheimer tomorrow, possibly today. Is that a testament to the Cowboys that you're hiring a guy that no one wants to hire? So there again, I flipped it on you. Do you feel great about the fact that the Cowboys are going to hire someone who has no appeal to anyone else except for them? Now, it doesn't guarantee he'll be bad just because no one else was looking to hire him.
I mean,
it's an indication.
Yeah, he brings is Marty Schottenheimer still alive?
I don't know that, actually.
Oh, I was going to, Bill and Brian Callahan. You just bring your dad in to
be the OC. It didn't help Lane Kiffin when he brought Monty in.
That is true.
So, good luck to the Cowboys. It looks like Brian Schottenheimer will be your new head coach. Good bloodlines.
You got the hereditary coaching gene.
Yeah, and Marty Schottenheimer died 5 years ago now.
May he rest in peace.
Yes, his son will now be likely the head coach of the Cowboys. And it's a history of the family, at least with Marty, of reaching a certain point, not getting past it, which is a Cowboys thing too. So maybe Brian
culture
could,
fit.
So maybe Brian is a real fit for what the Cowboys are all about now. There it is.
If you want to see someone go 14-2 and lose the divisional round, well, I have his son.
Yes.
Unfortunately, he died in 2020.
Yes. 2021, but yeah, you're right. I got it wrong. 4 years now. 2021 for Marty Schottenheimer and coming up in February. But the Cowboys, Brian Schottenheimer, didn't think that particular name was a head coaching candidate anymore.
Did Kellen Moore say no? Or
I don't know. He might have. I don't know if they actually got around to interviewing him, because if they didn't do it in the first week,
they couldn't have. They couldn't have.
They still had McCarthy on the books, and after that, the Eagles didn't have a bye week, so I'm not sure how they did it.
You know what? That is a testament to them that they bungled the search so much that they couldn't even talk to a different uninspiring offensive coordinator hire. But they got stuck with a more uninspiring offensive coordinator turned head coach. You know, really, hats off. No matter if it's a Cowboys hat, this ESPN 97.5 hat, a MAGA hat, whatever the hat is, hats off to the Cowboys for how they handled this.
Did interview Kellen Moore virtually last week. So they did get that done, but they've decided that Brian Schottenheimer is their guy.
Do you think Jerry Jones is proficient in Zoom?
I would leave that up to Steven.
Or do you think...
I think Steven sets it up and Jerry's on the call.
I think that they have
they have
someone walk in.
Yeah,
you sit here. You sit here.
Yeah, no football person. Not that they can't do it, but no one. There's a person. That's someone's job. That's someone's job who isn't a football person to do that. They've got IT people. Everyone does. Why would you leave that up to Dan Quinn or
Bobby
anyone else?
Bobby Slowick probably knows as well.
I'm sure he does, but he's not setting it up. That's all set up, and they walk in and sit down.
He could set his background. That's probably what he did for the Jets job. He just did the one where it's like a big fancy house behind him.
Where do you think Bobby Slowick lives that he wouldn't just have his own house
in the background?
How do coordinators arrange where they live? Because particularly if you're a condo, maybe? Like, I don't know.
Townhome?
Does he have a wife and kids? Maybe that means you buy a house. But if you're a coordinator who may have dreams of not being there for a long time and thinks you can go be a head coach someplace else, do you buy a house or do you rent?
And they also don't make so much. Like NFL players could just buy a house and it doesn't really matter if they're out of there in 2 years. An offensive coordinator is like, I don't know. I'm not that far away from making no money.
Yeah. So it seems like a poor investment.
Yeah.
Who knows? Well, it might not matter. Bobby Slowick.
Yeah. I hope he wrapped his pipes, left the drip going.
Well, that's the other thing.
Last couple days.
We don't ever ask what guys who, make a lot of money are doing when these things happen. Does Bobby Slowick have a guy, or is he at a level where he doesn't make enough money to have a guy?
No, he doesn't make enough money. I mean, I'm sure
he does, but he's not doing it.
Like, and he hasn't – I think my biggest thing is that he hasn't made it – he hasn't made that much money for long enough to where he
– that he has a guy to do all that stuff, like a handyman?
Yeah, like Bobby Slowick's salary.
Is it public domain to know? Let's get to La Salsa before we go to break. And we'll get to the Joe Mixon thing when we come back. So, a bit of controversy. The man got fined. Did he get fined twice or just once? And why and how? We'll get to that when we come back from break. But let's get to La Salsa here.
Hey, what's going on, Deli Belly?
It's not my name.
Hey, so I had the little Mito in the car earlier,
and
he wants to know what Mr. Lance meant by no butt. Also, Sean
Mates,
what it do, baby?
Gimmick infringement and a lie, all in one call. So let me give everyone who didn't hear context from News of the Weird. there was a story done where some Mississippi State senator wants to ban any type of sexual. See, the question is, I don't know if it's sex or the completion of sex, and you can kind of guess what that means considering what call you just heard. But the ban is.
You know what I mean?
He said me. Yeah, his little mijo. The ban is he wants to ban sex to completion by a man if it isn't in the process of trying to create a child. So that doesn't mean no sex. It means, well, no bleep November, or in this case, no bleep ever.
Express written consent
of trying to create a child. Yes, you cannot do that in the state of Mississippi if he has his way. I wish Rob Manfred was in control of that. In the state of Mississippi, though.
I have to write him a letter.
Yeah. Rob, look.
Mr. Manfred.
I know what the law is, but I don't really want to do this just to try to have a kid. I just think it's unhealthy. Yeah. No. I'm not explaining that to your little mijo. But that was the context of that call.
So
people are confused.
It doesn't have to be, this is hard to talk about.
It is.
Why'd they make this a law?
It's not. He wants it to be a law.
Oh, okay. So I guess what I'm asking, are they enforcing it where two people always have to be involved, or if it's a one-seater, are they also
a solo mission?
Are the cops going to be knocking down my door? Are the Starkville police going to do a raid on every dorm room looking for nudie mags? I know they don't use that anymore.
Yeah, I would have gone with sock, but
I felt that was too graphic. Looking for stiff socks. Yeah,
I would say if it does become a law, and who knows what will and what won't become a law. So I'm not going to just come out and say it won't get passed. I don't know how enforceable it will be. And I don't know if it's a solo mission that falls under this particular law.
They have a German Shepherd coming in sniffing stuff.
Yeah, look, canine dogs have I would say maybe good jobs, rough jobs. I don't know, but this would probably be on the low end. Like you got,
they would say it's rough.
Yeah, you would say a German Shepherd would say this. Like you got to be entry level, right? To be the German Shepherd who does this, you can't be a veteran on the force.
I mean, you can't teach an old dog a new trick. So yeah, you got to be a new dog.
Yeah, you got to be one of the.
I wasn't trained for this.
Yeah, yeah.
I do bombs.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, if you're a veteran canine dog, they're not going to bust you down to this and make you do that. That's or maybe you get suspended and this is your way back.
Oh, like turning your badge and gun. It's yeah. Like you're not doing coke anymore. Now you're doing
in dorm rooms across the state of Mississippi.
You're sweeping the Ole Miss dorms.
Yeah, because you bit someone when you weren't supposed to. So now this is what you have to do to make your way back up the ranks.
It's like the other guys it's like Mark Wahlberg's character and the other guy.
Yeah. Sometimes you need negative reinforcement, and that that's what it might be for those canines. All right, let's get away from this as quickly as we can. We'll hear from Joe Mixon when we come back. Well, we won't hear from him. I'll read some of his tweets and try to explain what's going on. He was fined for something he wasn't involved in because he didn't say it. And then he was re-fined for something he did say. And then his team and his agent, and by his team, I mean like his people, not the actual Texans, they went on a campaign to tell the world how unfair it was, and it brings up a question for me. We'll dissect it and what it means for Joe Mixon other than come out of that $25K. That's coming out of your pocket. We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So Sean informed me it's a call from someone who took issue with not really our conversation, but we did
the double standard.
A double standard that we had. I don't know what you called about, but you had an issue with us cutting you off because now we just did that segment. I was going to say your name. The issue is not really what you want to talk about. It's an issue of trust. We don't know you. You know, people in your life, you know, and you trust them. Other people you don't know, so you don't trust them. I couldn't trust that you wouldn't say a thing that would cross a line. And yes, despite some of the crudeness of the conversation, a line was not crossed by us. We're dancing around things. We've taken the classes. We can do the waltz. We can do the electric slide. We can do it all. I don't know what you're capable of. You might step on someone's toes, and then it becomes my problem. So that's why you got cut off last time. That's all it is. Nothing against you. I just can't trust you. Young Metro.
You know who else you can't trust? The NFL.
That's right. Fines. Let's get to that. The NFL fined Joe Mixon $25,000 for something he did not say. I guess all ex-Bengals look alike, because apparently the initial thing in their statement was a comment associated with TJ Husmanzada. So Joe Mixon took issue with it. He's tweeted about it. This is the original thing put into the NFL statement that got Joe Mixon and his people upset. Why play the game if every 50-50 call goes with the Chiefs? These officials are trash cans and biased. That was what the NFL attributed to Joe Mixon and the reason they fined him. Now, they have since come back and said, no, that's not why we fined you. This is what Joe Mixon actually said. Everyone know how it is playing up here. You can never leave it into the ref's hands, but I mean, the whole world see what it is, bro. It is what it is. It's all good, though. Now, the Joe Mixon team is on the offensive. Joe Mixon's tweeted about why he thinks that's wrong, and here's what he said. So let me get this straight. NFL fines me $25,000 for saying something, for something I didn't even say, called them out for it, and their response was fine me again for something that's not even a violation without even rescinding the first one. Where's the accountability? Just respect the players. And he goes cold, and he does a planet emoji, cold world. I'm getting fined by the NFL. This is the next tweet. I'm getting fined by the NFL for what someone else said. What's next? I get fined by them for Connor McDavid cross-checking an opponent on an NHL game. Slap his face emoji. Now, we could question whether he knows anything about hockey. I don't know. Joe Mixon may love hockey. The problem is it feels like a coordinated thing because his own agent said the same thing to, I guess, Click to Houston, or that's the website, but KPRC. His agent said this. His name's Peter Schaefert. We will defend Joe and have appealed the fine, and we'll explore all other legal avenues to rectify the situation. This has to stop. What's next? The NFL fining Joe for Connor McDavid cross-checking in an NFL game? So.
That's pretty damning. I was going to say maybe Joe Mixon just likes puck.
And it might very well be that Joe Mixon loves himself some hockey and loves one of the best players in the world. But it feels pretty coordinated when your agent almost bar for bar says the same thing.
Apparently, and this is where working with Joe sometimes comes in handy. That's not a hypothetical, the Connor McDavid.
No, I know. I know it happened.
Okay. I was going to say that's, well, I don't know.
I know it's a thing.
I thought he just said a hockey word that I knew and a hockey player's that name that I know. And yeah. I was like, okay.
It was an incident within the last week where Connor McDavid, one of the stars in NHL.
That helps Joe Mixon's case of, hey, I'm just a puck watcher.
It would if his agent hadn't said the same exact thing.
Word for word, bar for bar.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when you're starting to ask, I don't know why you're using hockey as the example anyway. Why, of all the sports to pick, why hockey of all things?
He should have said Draymond kicks someone in the nuts, I could find.
Yeah, but I guess this is the most recent incident of a big name player. But why?
Amen Thompson throws.
Yeah, why not use someone in your own city? You should have used the Tyler Hero example.
Tyler Hero across half
I guess
court.
If the next time Amen Thompson throws a cold white boy across the floor, I guess I'm going to get fined by the NFL. So there,
Duncan Robinson.
Duncan Robinson may be next. We will see. They still got to go to Miami.
Is he cold enough? I don't know.
He ain't got the haircut for it to be called cold, according to Udonis Haslam. So there it is. $25,000 initially. He was fined for something he did not say. Now, in his initial tweet, he said it wasn't rescinded. I don't believe he's getting fined $50,000 once, $25,000 for an incident where he wasn't really involved. That's a TJ Husmanzada thing. And then $25,000 for the thing he actually said. I think whether they sent him an official letter or not to say he's not fined for the one, or they just say, hey, we're just flipping the wording here.
Got another one, right? Let me check my pocket. Two more for you.
Two more for you. That's what – it's funny you're doing that now because that was floating around yesterday because of what the Heat did to Butler. Like,
oh, yeah. That's another one.
I got two more for you.
Two more.
That's the LeBron
inventing deluxe album.
Yeah.
In 2019.
If you guys haven't seen it, maybe you're not on social media, but it's what it is. Sean and I are, so we know what it is. So, yeah, $25K for Joe Mixon for what he said. He doesn't even believe what he actually said is finable. The NFL disagrees. So there it is. And we'll see if his agent and Joe come together and find a way to fight it. Because I believe they are. They're going to fight the fine and say it's not proper. Peter Schaefer and Joe Mixon. There it is. Connor McDavid, huh? I would say, guys, switch up your examples. I think Amen Thompson Tyler Hero is a perfect one. In the city, the people who follow you, for the most part, I mean, I'm sure there's some Oklahoma and NFL fans and Bengals fans still following you, but
Danny Studsman hit someone in the helmet. I get
maybe too obscure with that one, but the people who care the most are in this city. Mm-hmm. Peter Schaefer, know your audience,
or Joe Mixon.
Yeah, and yeah, true. And honestly, no matter if you're speaking to Houston people or just sports fans in general, more people know about the Amen Thompson Tyler Hero thing than know about the Connor McDavid thing, simply because hockey doesn't occupy the space that the NBA does. I'm just saying, if we're fighting the NFL, you gotta come with everything you got. And it would be funnier if he quote tweeted a video of Amen doing that to Tyler Hero as part of his defense. Oh, would this get me fined? Just go all in. We'll see what's next for Peter Schaefer and Joe Mixon. I know you get hit with $25K for your words, and it sucks. But you know the rules. You mention the refs and say they show any favoritism. You're in for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess I don't remember him specifically saying the refs. I thought he was more veiled with the, you know what you get when you come up here. And I didn't know it was straight up. You can
never leave it into the
refs' hands. That's not exactly blaming. Like, that's just something people do say, and not explicitly calling into question the credibility of the refs. But I think it's also, hey, we already sent the fine. We got to save a little face here and fine them for something. We can't just completely go, you know what? Our bad. Hand up. That was TJ Houshmandzadeh who said that, who tweeted that. Didn't even say
it. He just
tweeted it.
Yeah. And I would say, if I was going to be really petty, you're a victim of guilt by association. That's a Bengal. You were a Bengal.
We can't do guilty by association with the Cincinnati Bengals of all franchises.
Hey, next time Vontaze Burfict says anything out of line, you'll catch it too, Joe Mixon.
Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Chad Johnson too.
He's more like, it's different for him. He's just he was great with the Bengals. All he did was do a little river dance, put on a Hall of Fame jacket.
Yeah, but he wasn't a problem. He's still a pundit. I don't want to be held accountable for both Houshmandzadeh's and Ocho Cinco's takes.
Oh, only one of Carson Palmer's pass catchers will get you fined. We're not gonna include him.
Rudy Johnson, no.
But pass catchers.
Okay.
Another running back. Who can say? So there it is. We'll see if Joe Mixon wins that one. There are other Texans who haven't been fined, who pretty much said things very similar. Henry Toloto said something. Will Anderson said something. We know D'Amico in his post game said something very similar, but he found a way not to get fined. So far,
yeah.
We'll see.
Did Brooks Reed say something? Maybe he could get fined for that.
Brooks Reed. What's Jonathan Babin up to?
Yeah.
What's he saying about the game? JJ was on Pat McAfee, speaking of former Texans, and he credited Troy Aikman for saying it like it is about that incident. I think he also said the entire world or entire football world would agree that those calls shouldn't have been made. And I would say to you, I guess you've never met Walt Anderson, because Walt Anderson said those calls were correct. Oddly enough, the former official agreed with the officials. So we will move on from that. We'll see what comes of it. I don't think Joe Mixon's going to find any joy there. I think that $25K is going to stand. We will let you know another way the Texans got screwed when we come back. The NFL DPOY finalists are out. You might think a Texan has to be part of that. I'll tell you who is and who isn't when we come back. We also have some numbers, as I mentioned earlier, about the pressure rates the Texans gave up when stunts were involved. We all saw it with our eyes. Now we have numbers to back it up. Before we do all that, Sean's going to tell you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And right now, it's coming down to the wire, AFC, NFC championship games. Now's the time to put all that football knowledge to the test. You've been watching all season long. You know if Saquon Barkley is going to run all over this pretty porous Commanders run defense. You know, hey, Jalen Hurts is hobbled. He could barely walk. He could barely string together sentences in the post-game press conference. Maybe you think he goes less than his rushing number. And for the NFC Championship game, they also have a free pick. If Jaden Daniels throws for more than one half of a yard, you are on your way to making some money. So what you're going to do, download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks. Get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD. 97.9 HD2.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We don't really have enough time this hour to do the Texans offensive line numbers against stunts justice. So we'll get to something quick here. I got hit with the Netflix Daily Double a couple days ago. I got hit with my bill, which I expected. And then a minute later, they hit me with, by the way, on February whatever, $2 price increase. And at some point, Netflix is going to go too far. I don't know if I'm at that point yet. Maybe I'm really excited about the second season of Night Agent. I don't know what it is, but because I recently got a new TV, I just say, you know, Netflix, give me the 4K ad-free package. That's the one I'm going to get. Let's indulge. We got the TV. I don't want the non-4K package. Let's do it. I'm trying to figure out what price it'll be before I say no. I mean, they got one more season of Stranger Things that I will watch because I'm a completist. Is there anything else that would hold me after that's over? You can find anything everywhere.
Yeah.
There are ways to watch anything. Even Netflix shows are available in places. Maybe you can't watch them on your TV. Maybe you have to watch them on your laptop because of a certain site. But you can find them.
Especially because now, like, just everywhere has a streaming service.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I might miss out on, what, like 5 things a year that I want to watch, maybe, without going through alternative methods of watching it. Like, how many Netflix original things or Netflix exclusive things are actually that compelling to you?
This is what I'm saying.
To pay that much a month.
I mentioned Night Agent in kind of a joke, but that's a series that they're promoting coming out, going into their second season. Usually Netflix only does 2 seasons of shows anyway. So do I really have to see this next season? Yeah. Probably not if I'm already subscribed for the month, so I'm not going to cancel right now. But once – and what else is out there? You got their tentpole production in Stranger Things in their final season. What else do they have that keep people coming back? Like, they have
Extraction 3.
Maybe. I got a season of The Witcher without Henry Cavill.
Nice.
Do I care about the other Hemsworth? Well, there is an other Hemsworth. This is the Hemsworth from
Hunger Games.
That's
from Westworld.
Yeah, that's the other Hemsworth. This is the other Hemsworth who's going to be replacing Henry Cavill. I like The Witcher, but it's not even The Witcher without Henry Cavill. So how many things would keep me? When we're talking about, like, I'll reveal something. After tax, the bill for me right now is $24.99 because of the HD, the 4K, whatever. Very expensive right now considering what they offer. The new price is going to be $24.99 before tax. So whatever that turns out to be. Is it $27 a month worth of content? What's the number? Sean, do you have Netflix?
I do, but I'm just on my parents'
Netflix. Got it. Netflix, the new insurance.
Yeah.
Because there's no rule about that one.
And it's like the perfect it's like the perfect level of distance to where it's like, yeah, sure, I'll go hop in. Well, I actually watched this with my parents over the Christmas holiday, but like, oh, hey, Carry On. Yeah, sure, I'll give that a shot.
Yeah.
Extraction 2, Extraction. Extraction 3, I'll give those a shot.
But is the promise of Extraction 3 enough to keep me if this thing's getting to $30 a month? We're going to get there.
Yeah, of course.
I would say by the summer, we're probably, when you include tax, it'll probably be $30 a month for their highest tier.
I was going to say, I feel like we had a conversation about Netflix raising the price like 2 months
ago. Yep, that's true. But don't hit me with the bill of what I'm currently paying you, which is nonsense.
Space those out.
And then hit me minutes later with, oh, by the way, next time your billing cycle rolls around, it's going to cost you $2 extra.
This one's light, huh?
What are we doing? Hey, don't feel so bad, right? It's going to cost you more.
Maybe that's what they're
saying. Netflix doesn't even have that thing where, at least I assume, I haven't tried to cancel in a while, where they go, oh, you're canceling? We're going to reduce your price by $4 or $5. Some sites do that. Some just normal membership services in a lot of places do that. They don't do that. They got us. They got me.
They got you.
They don't got you. They got your parents. They got me on.
They don't even know that they're still paying for
it. Ain't going to remind you. Ain't going to remind them. Man.
Yeah. I'm
30, I think I'm done if they get to 30 per month. And I'm including tax. I'm not saying, it's
30 out of your pocket.
Yeah, when it's 30, when the PayPal hits and it's $30, I'm out.
Oh, back in action.
These are the things I should be hanging on to Netflix
for? I'm just, you know, that's the, when I opened up Netflix on my phone, new to Netflix, first one, Back in Action. Second one, Night Agent. Next one, XO Kitty. Huh?
That's a spinoff of From All the Boys I Loved Before. That's the younger sister, I think. They gave her a show.
Nice.
I just tuned in Netflix and some kid show popped up. That was the sound you heard.
American Primeval.
It wasn't enough. I watched it. It's not that great. We talked about it on Friday. It's not that great. Not the ending, at least.
The comeback, the 2004 Boston Red Sox?
Nah.
This is binge-worthy TV shows. The Receiver?
The Recruit was Noah Centineo's coming out, the second season of that. It's not hitting Netflix. You can't get up to 30 and think, well, who knows? At this point, people just let the thing flow. They don't even pay attention. Out of the bank account, who cares?
Wags to Riches?
No. This is the problem. You can't name anything that's going to keep. Like, I'm talking about even a series that people get excited about. Like, even something that maybe people are like this. A lot of people are like this. I have. And Netflix is a little more difficult for them to keep people this way because they generally just drop everything at once. Like, I am signing up for this because of this series, and then I'm out once I watch the series. So if it costs me, I'll watch the series in a month when it's out, then I'm out. I will cancel my subscription until the next season. Netflix doesn't even have a lot of those. Like, what's drawing people that they can get up to $30 and be like, yep, we got you. At least people with discerning taste like me.
Madam Web's still on Netflix.
Yeah, I haven't watched it.
Still in your watch list.
No, it's never been on my watch list. It's what they say I should watch because of my viewing habits.
Oh, I need to get to this. Bad Boys Ride or Die. Watched Bad Boys for Life the other day.
Despicable Me 2. It's the top three movie in the U.S. today.
Oh, The Monkey Show, The Umbrella Academy.
I didn't even finish that. I'm in the final season. I just tuned away. Back in Action is that Jamie Foxx, Cameron Diaz joint. That's number one in movies today. Okay.
All the number ones are all Netflix. And it's all shows I've never heard anyone talk about.
Yeah. I'm not saying people don't watch. I'm just trying to figure out what's the breaking point for people.
No one seems to like them enough to tell me about them.
Exactly. That's part of the Netflix's thing. It's just background noise for the most part. Hey, we put it on. You might get through six episodes without even noticing because it's just on. That's what's happening to my mother. She got it. She's running through shows. She ran through The Crown in like a week. Now she's on Manifest. That NBC show where the people disappear and they come back the same age and everyone's aged like 5 years. She's the perfect person. She's retired. She's at home. Just don't turn on Netflix and watch episode after episode. Now me. Can't get me with Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, what about The Ones Who Live? Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live.
What about it, Sean? What? Oh, you. Maybe you. I like you's going to come back. Maybe that's one of the shows that people sign up for.
I mean, Stranger Things. That not for Well, I don't know about you because I don't know if there's been a Stranger Things episode or season since like we've worked together.
No, there has not been, though.
But I don't know if that's your jam.
I like I said earlier, I'm a completist, so I've watched all the other seasons. So I will watch it. It's just not been on for a long time.
Yeah.
We will see. We will see. And I think it's been off so long that Millie Bobby Brown has done two different Netflix movies had two Netflix movies come on their streaming service since the last season of the show that made her famous. I think it's at least two. All right, Anthony, we'll get to you. You want to talk Netflix? We'll talk to you on the other side. Anyone else want to get in on anything, really? You can when we get to the second hour. We'll be back.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.